Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 133, for December 31st, 2009, Blippi and Pippi. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/night. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/night. And by the new voice-activated sync, featuring hands-free calling, music and podcast search, and turn-by-turn navigation, available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncByRide.com. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California, U.S. of A. I'm Leo Laporte.
And from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur.
Oh, she's still at home in PEI, huh?
I'm still getting spoiled by my mom, who is doing my laundry. She's just doing everything, Leo. As you know, I wrote a book this fall, and I'm doing some editing and some kind of final editing. And I printed out the manuscript, and my mom actually bound it in a big binder for me so that it was easier for me to go through it. I feel like I'm in high school all over again.
Now, are you the first member of your family to have written a book?
Yes.
So this is a big deal for the fam. Oh, I think her power just went out. Are you there?
Sorry, Leo, I lost you for a sec. Did you lose me for a sec?
Yeah, you froze, but that's good. I mean, I was a little afraid because Amber warned us before we began. She's in the middle of a snowstorm in PEI, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of snow. So, yes, I am the first person in my family to write a book, as far as I know. I actually think I'm the first woman in my family to ever have gone to university or college.
Wow.
So I think that, yeah, definitely the first to write a book.
Many people don't realize that Amber comes from a backwoods family. That you got your first pair of shoes when you were 18, right?
Yes, Leo, you're just exactly right.
Just teasing.
No. But I do come from a small town, though.
So. They got to be very proud of you, though. That's very cool.
Well, my dad, who has been in business internationally forever, he has been editing my book for the past 2 days and just reading through it as someone who isn't really that familiar with social marketing online. And it's been so helpful to have him. So, yeah, they're excited.
That's really neat. Well, congratulations. When's the book come out?
June 10th. Takes a long time.
Well, you're still editing it.
Yes.
So today we have an interesting entrepreneur joining us.
We sure do. And this was based, see, Leo, you might think I'm not listening to you on the show, but every time you say, oh, it would be fun to get them on, the first thing I do is to try to find those people.
So she books them.
I do. So you mentioned Blippi last week, and this is kind of like a social shopping website where people talk about what they've bought, and you can share all of the information in terms, let's say if you spend $25 a week at McDonald's, that information becomes public.
Automatically, unless you stop it, by the way.
Yeah. So some people think this is a big invasion of your privacy. Others, I think they kind of like the idea that you can share information about what people are buying and maybe get some suggestions about what you should possibly buy. But we are having someone from Blippi come on the show. Now, we were originally going to get one of the co-founders, and I think you know him, maybe?
Well, you know him certainly by reputation. I'm sure everybody knows Pud, Philip Kaplan. He started a site that was very popular during the last dot-com boom called Eft Company. If I said the full name, we'd have to bleep it. And I was always impressed by Pud because he said this is his philosophy, he designs websites that run themselves and make money automatically. So he just sets it up, lets it go, and collects the money. And that's what Eft Company was. If you remember, this was during the heyday of the dot-com boom. People would send, usually anonymously, memos from their company that were ludicrous or stupid or moronic and publish them. And then there would be these forums and it would be his, you know, people would comment on it. And it was the, you had, before TechCrunch, that was the site you had to go to find out what was going on in Silicon Valley and in the, in the tech area.
Or before Valleywag, you know, it was definitely a big gossip site. I remember when I worked at Razorfish, I remember going there the time. And if they ever wrote about anyone who was affiliated with Razorfish, and it was definitely a site to follow.
Now, it's gone. I just went there and it says, effed company is sort of effed. But Pud has moved on and he's a serial entrepreneur now. You can, I follow him on Twitter. And he sent me an email the other day saying, I've got this new company called Blippi. And, you know, his bio on Twitter says, entrepreneur, heavy metal drummer, co-founder of Blippi, formerly founded Adbright, Eft Company, tweet name, Fast 140, Flirt 140, Mo Blog, and more. Ask me anything. And he said, would you like to try Blippi? And if you, you know, if you try this, you know, we'll feature you as a user. Now, if you follow Pud, you'll see that he puts beta invite codes up all the time. You can't just walk into Blippi right now. It's in closed beta. But maybe Ashwin, when he's on the show, Ashwin Kumar, who is also his partner founding Blippi, Ashwin might just give us a, would you do this? Would you do this?
I don't know, Leo. I don't know. I don't think I would. You know, and not for any reason. Not in the sense that I just don't know if I buy enough or I shop enough.
You shop enough. Let me show you. We'll talk about it with him in just a bit. But just to give you a little setup on this, here's the Blippi site. When you go there, you go to accounts. And it has built-in support for iTunes, Amazon, Zappos, Netflix, Blockbuster, GoDaddy, Wine Library, and Seamless Web. But you can also enter any credit card, debit card, or bank account.
So I know.
Now, it uses Wufoo, which is the same back end that Mint uses. So you're not giving your information to Blippi, really. You're giving it to a third party that already knows all this information because all the banks use it, too. So I felt safe doing that. But the thing that is kind of an invasion of privacy is... then it every time you buy something, if you've allowed these accounts permission, it will post what you bought. But you can comment on other people's purchases. You can like it. For instance, Dr. Mom, who's in our chat room, she's on Blippi now. And I noted that, among other things, like some movies from Netflix and some Amazon purchases, Dr. Mom bought a Slanket.
Ew, is that like a Snuggie?
Yeah, it's the blanket with sleeves. So I had to give her a hard time about it. I said, oh, no, you didn't. And she said, oh, yes, I did. So she likes it. So it's fun. Now, you also get great ideas for things to buy, movies to watch. The Netflix thing is cool because if you use the streaming Netflix, it'll every time you watch a movie on you know, Instant Play, it'll put it up there, even though it's not any money spent. Shows what music you buy, which I think is kind of cool.
See, I like it for that kind of stuff, you know, in the sense that you get a sense of what other people are buying and,
exactly.
and that element. I think that's pretty cool. So the whole social shopping idea. I don't know if I would want people to know everything that I bought. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm excited to talk to them.
I, for instance, didn't put all my credit cards on there. I don't want anybody to see the porn purchases. So I have just one of my credit cards. And I know that anytime I was joking, by the way, you didn't laugh. That was.
Oh, sorry. I can't. Over Skype, it just doesn't work as well. Sorry, Leo. We were in the studio together.
just help me out here. I only took one credit card. And I know that anytime I buy anything with that credit card, that's in public. But you also can say, just like you can with Twitter, I have private, you know, posts. Only people I allow to follow me can follow me. Or you can be public. You can look at stuff ahead of time and not share some things. You have control over it. I just think it's a great way to discover things to buy.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's funny. Just as we were talking, is it Ashwin? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Ashwin.
He sent me a link to sign up for an account. So I just signed up right now. I know. I think that maybe is what scares me about it, is that I would get a little bit addicted to it.
Okay, follow
for people
you.
Who can't see Leo, he is bouncing on his ball again. And I have to inform people when he's doing that, because it means he gets excited about some piece of technology.
Follow you. No, it's just really fun. I'm following, you know, Kevin Rose is on, Jason Calacanis is, and some interesting conversations arose. Jason bought a Canon 7D camera. And I said, Jason, you got more money than God. Why don't you just buy up and get a 5D? And he said, well, I was told the 7D was better. So we went back and forth. People chimed in. We had a fairly long conversation about pros and cons on the 7D and the 5D. And I think that that's valuable for everybody involved. It's just, it's an interesting idea. It's kind of Twitter with a focus.
Yeah. Well, I think what's different is you on Twitter, you probably lie a little bit about your post, you know.
Right.
Oh,
this is
auto-posting. And you embellish them, right?
Yes.
With this, because it's linked up to your specific accounts, I mean, it's more legitimate in some ways.
Yeah, you can't hide. You can't run.
Can't hide, right? You know, I may say, I went out to see this movie and I loved it, and I may tell people just what I want to tell them, but I'm not telling them every bad movie I went to see, like some stupid romantic comedy or something, whereas... This reveals a little bit more, which is interesting. Makes it almost more authentic in a way.
You can imagine my chagrin when The Adventures of Pippi Longstocking showed up on my charge card.
Too much information.
Yeah. People said, Leo,
you're going to get me addicted to it. I'm on it right now, and I'm trying to focus on my notes.
It's kind of fun. I kind of like. Anyway, we'll talk to Ashwin in just a little bit. We've also got some great links for you. Lots more fun. But before we do much more, I do want to mention our friends at Ford and the incredible Sync product, because we're going to CES courtesy of Sync. Sync is the hands-free calling, music, and podcast search, the turn-by-turn navigation. You've heard me talk about it so much. I've got Sync in my new Mustang. But if you go to your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury dealer, you can take a look at Sync in any Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury car. They're supporting our CES coverage live from Las Vegas, January 6th through 10th. We're really excited. You're not coming to CES by any chance.
No, you know what? I was listening to you talk to Dick about going to CES, and I think I will try to get there next year. But this year has just been focusing on baby.
You got a
and
new baby. Yeah. You can. We would love to have you next year. You could be part of our coverage next year, because I have a feeling this is going to be fun. We're going to end up doing this again.
I know. It sounds like you have a great great thing underway.
I'll be down there. I think we're getting a Lincoln MKS so we can demo the Sync. If you see me, you know, say, Leo, pull over. I'll give you a ride. I'll show you the Sync. It's so cool. See, so I'm driving along. I got a button on the steering wheel. I press it. It goes, dunk. And then I say, audio. And then it goes, okay, what? And I say, play Net at Night 133. And it starts playing. Because all Sync autos have a USB port, which is really cool. So you can hook up your iPhone, your iPod, your Droid, your Zoom, any device with a USB port. The Sync will read it, index it, and then you can call for any tune by name. It supports A2DP, so your audio plays directly from your Bluetooth phone if it has A2DP, which is really nice. You don't even have to hook it up. It does 911 assist, which is really nice. If the airbag bags deploy, it gives you a chance to abort, but it will then say, you know, I'm going to call 911. You okay? And if it doesn't hear from you, it calls 911, feeds them your GPS locations. It says airbags have been deployed, and then gives you a chance to talk, plays a recorded message. I mean, this thing is, it makes your car a lot smarter. And I know that the folks at Sync are going to have some new announcements at CES that are going to go even the next step.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I want you to find out more about Sync. Go to Sync. MyRide.com. That's the official site for Ford Sync owners or Lincoln Sync or Mercury Sync owners. SyncMyRide.com. There's some videos there. It'll demonstrate it. You really have to see it to believe it. And come see us at CES. I'll give you a demo, a personal demo. You can also subscribe to our Twit Live at CES podcast, which will be going out on the feed in the next day or two. We're going to do some pre-show stuff. Colleen's got some behind-the-scenes things on the amazing inventions, the things she's building for our CES. You won't believe the stuff she's doing for our CES coverage. Every once in a while, she wanders through here with a camera and a backpack, and she's like, it's like Mars. It's like she's like the lunar rover or something. You know? It's just really exciting. So we'll have behind-the-scenes, some video and stuff before we go next week to Vegas. And then actually after the show Tuesday, we're packing up the studio after our Net at Night show Tuesday. Packing up the studio. It's going down in the Lincoln to CES. I'm getting on the plane the next day. We all are. And we'll be broadcasting live from Las Vegas next week. It's really going to be fun. And we thank the folks at Sync for sponsoring that. We really look forward to bringing you CES live. And make sure you do check it out. SyncMyRide.com or go to your Lincoln, Ford, or Mercury dealer and say, I want to test drive the Sync. So let's get to our links before we get to Ashwin. You got some links for us?
Ah, sure do. So there are quite a few links out that are kind of reporting on stats over the holidays. One of the links that I found the most interesting was talking about how Facebook, for the first time ever, was the number one visited site in the U.S. on both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
What do you think that means? That's interesting.
Well, you know what, Leo? I have to say, I guess I don't really upload a ton of photos to Facebook, but what I noticed just from being around some close family friends here over the holidays is a lot of people, when they get a new digital camera, Christmas morning, they're snapping photos, they're going to Facebook, they're uploading photos of their family around the Christmas tree. And so I think that there is a really heavy push. I noticed, for example, even Flickr was really slow on Christmas Day. And I wonder if, same sort of thing, people are uploading a lot of family pictures. I know I did create my Christmas card on Christmas Day because I took a picture of Connor in his little Santa outfit. So I got a little taste of it, but I think that's why it was so busy. People just keeping in touch with friends and family who they weren't around. And so obviously some big traffic there.
So did you upload your Merry Christmas card from Connor to Facebook?
You know what? I didn't, but Chris did. And it's so funny because we took a picture of Connor in his little Santa suit, and Leo's
really
showing
cute.
It now.
Yeah.
And then Chris wrote, he created it kind of like it's the National Geographic
right.
cover because he's a huge science fan.
Right.
And so just a little happy holiday card. And it was fun, just to do that because I didn't send out cards this year. And you know what? I should have because I love getting physical cards and I love getting the Twit card for the past couple of years. And but I didn't get around to it.
Don't sweat it. We didn't do cards until the kids were teenagers. It was like, who has time? I'm still wiping butts. I don't have time for Christmas cards. It's not going to happen this year. Everybody understands.
Were they trained until they were teenagers?
Until they were teenagers. It was, it's kind of embarrassing, but that's,
freaking me out now. So,
yeah, that's the worst news I could give you, isn't it?
I just read somewhere that you change 2,000 diapers a year on average your first couple of years. So
Per kid,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's, but it'll be over eventually.
That's right.
It's great. Enjoy it. Live it up. But everybody understands a new mom, no Christmas cards. In fact, I would be honest with you. If you sent me a Christmas card, I think there was something wrong with you.
You think I was a little weird.
Like, come on. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you
doing? Stop trying to overachieve.
You're already an overachiever. She wrote a book, for crying out loud. You can't send out a Christmas card, too.
Well, I'm reading the book this week, and I'm like, wow, how did I pull this together? I don't remember any of this.
When did I write that? Facebook is easily the number one photo sharing site. I mean, people think of Flickr or even Photo Bucket or YFrog or TwitPic, but no, Facebook is by far and away. I mean,
it's
what is
amazing.
It? 300 million monthly users?
I think they have now 350 million users around the world.
It's bigger than
the
U.S.
That's the most recent stat that I saw. I know. And there was something like, if it were just in terms of population, I think they're the fourth biggest country in the world. So they're absolutely massive.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I went to a party on Boxing Day because in Canada we have Boxing Day, which is a holiday after Christmas Day.
I know. That's when the lord of the manor and the lady of the manor go to their serfs with a box of food to thank them for harvesting all the grains. Do you do that? The MacArthurs?
That doesn't happen anymore. But normally, it is kind of a day to go visiting people, and there's a lot of parties. So I went to a party on Boxing Day, and it was funny because I have some family friends who will snap photos, and then they're up on Facebook, and you're tagged there before you even know it. So
it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Well,
pretty
this is, I've been thinking, this has been a theme all week for me, and you will understand this of all people, that I think because innovation happens so rapidly now, that there is, for the first time in human history, maybe not the first time, but there is this discontinuity. We've had in the past the have and have nots, but with digital technology, it's more than the have and have nots. It's the people who are living in the future, the people who are living in the present, and the people who are living in the past. So some people don't have an answering machine yet or email, let alone the internet. They're living in the past. Most people now have the internet and they have an answering machine. They're living in the present. And then there's people like you and me who don't watch TV anymore. We all watch everything on the net. We don't have yellow pages. We do it all on Google. We don't take pictures and print them. We do it all on Facebook and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I think Facebook's moving, though, from that we live in the future thing to the mainstream present, don't you?
Definitely.
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah, everyone. I mean, it's amazing to me. And they're, and everyone of all ages. That's what surprises me so much about Facebook, Leo, is that I literally have cousins who are, you know, 10 years old who use Facebook all the time. And then I, my parents' friends who are grandparents are on Facebook all the time connecting. So it's such a wide range as far as the demographic on Facebook. And that that is unlike most sites that we use that are kind of these early adopter type websites.
Yeah, yeah. We're part of it, but we're no longer the bleeding edge when it comes to Facebook.
Yeah, we need to do something different, Leo.
Blippi's
freaking me out right now because I'm like obsessed with clicking on what people are buying, Leo. My whole night is ruined.
Even Twitter. Do you think now Twitter might be? Facebook's definitely mainstream. Twitter, I don't think it's still mainstream.
I think a lot of people still don't understand what Twitter is right. all about and why would they would use it, at least from mainstream.
It may never be mainstream.
I don't think so. I don't think it will ever be mainstream like a Facebook will.
Even Oprah and Ashton couldn't make Facebook. Well, but remember we said that the Farmville, which is the number one application on Facebook, is bigger than Twitter like by a factor of 10.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Facebook, Twitter. I mean, it's like, you know, there's not, it's a...
You can't compete. It's just, I think there's something sexier about Twitter, and that's why it gets a lot more press. And in the sense that people are going on, there's a lot of celebrities on there. They're, you know, quick little comments, yes. 140 characters, so easy to digest. And so
it
feels
more modern.
Yeah, it's like a really bad popular television show.
Facebook is the Scrubs of the internet.
It kind of is. Whereas, like, The Wire is like, you know, something that is a little more. You know, we're trying.
Twitter's The Wire. That's it. I think you hit it. I think you hit the nail on the head. Facebook is My Name is Earl. Twitter is The Wire.
Yeah, it is.
I threw that in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have an actor in studio, guy who was in My Name is Earl. He was one of the guys in the Crab Shack.
I saw him. Okay, Leo, I have to tell you that I just tuned in for a second because I was trying to get ready and like brush my hair. And
he said, who is that biker in the studio?
I saw this guy in studio. I think he's still there with you, perhaps. Hello. And all I heard is Leo saying, wow, you have nice... deep set eyes and your bone structure. And I was like, am I tuned into the wrong show?
You know what we were going to do, which I think would have been quite a funny thing is this is Michael Cochran. And I think we were going to have Michael call you up and have him sitting on the ball. And he was going to lip sync me. He was going to say, hi, Amber.
Fun.
That would have been fun, huh?
Yeah.
Would have scared you. He looks like Santa after a rough night.
Right. Yeah, he looks like a young, handsome Santa.
Young, handsome Santa. She is such a diplomat. I love it.
All I know is I just heard you saying very flattering things. And then I tuned in again and you were still talking about it. I was like, wow. You know, he has got to get out of the cottage.
Sometimes I forget that there's anybody listening. Let's talk about item number two, which is a Twitter item.
Yes. Okay. I wanted to talk about this, Leo, because I thought this site had been around for a long time, and I guess not. I went to Mashable today, and it talked about this website where you can find out who the first person was who followed you on Twitter. And, you know, usually Mashable is really on top of things, but I thought we talked about this before. I've actually had this in my list of news items.
You know, there's a lot of things like this. I think there was a site that was the first person you followed.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
I think that's what you're thinking.
I think you're right.
So let me see. So do you have to put your Twitter handle?
Yeah, you just put your handle in. You don't have to put in your username.
All right, let's see. Who was the first person to follow Leo Laporte? Run 10K. I don't even know who that is. I don't know if that's true. How would they know who my first follower is?
Well, here's the thing. I read a little bit about this, I saw this on Read Write Web. It said it's kind of difficult to tell if the service is accurate or not, given the way that Twitter kind of lists its followers. But
this guy, Run10K, has tweeted twice in April 2007, and he is following me and Merlin and John Foster and Justin Blanton. I don't know who Justin is, but those other three are Twit people. I don't know. I guess he could have been my first follower. It's true that I returned to Twitter in April 2007, so that must be accurate. I mean, you know, I was on Twitter December 2006 and then left in a huff. And then when I realized nobody noticed that I'd left, I came back in April with my tail between my legs. You don't remember that? No, apparently not. She's giving me a blank look. I think.
Oh, Leo, can you still hear me?
Yes. I'm still talking to you.
I could still. Every once in a while, I just disappear into the Skype.
Like she starts thinking. It's like, you know, HAL 9000. If you start going,
you're just stuck with silence. Well, anyway, I should mention, actually, the site is called firstfollower.com if I didn't mention that at the top.
Good idea.
Yeah, and I actually was just going there which just to see who the first person who followed me was to check them out. And it's funny because I wasn't following them back. I felt really guilty.
Yeah, I'm not following 10K, but he only posted twice, so big deal.
So you don't feel bad.
I don't feel so bad. So who was your first follower?
Looking here.
Is it Amber Mac? It was Amber Mac back then, right? Or was it Amber MacArthur?
It was Amber MacArthur. So I'm getting Howzat, Howzyat.
And then you'd have to go back and look at Howzat's first tweet, maybe. I don't know. No, see, wait a minute. Now, see, I get a different one for you. I just put Amber MacArthur in, and I get Otegi.
Well, I guess when I switched to Amber Mac, right, perhaps they do it, you know, I essentially had two accounts
right. From
the standpoint of first follower.
Otej. Hello?
Yeah.
I'm Otej.
Otej. Oh, you know what? I wonder if he's from Sweden. Sorry.
Norwegian.
No. Okay, Norway. I think I actually know that person, kind of.
Yeah, his real name is Odd Inge Tege.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's from Norway.
Well, you know how you have people who you have talked to or connected with on Twitter or friend feed, and you kind of feel like you know them? He's one of those people.
It's interesting that Odd, O-D-D, is a given name in Norway.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it. I think you should have named your kid Odd.
I'll reconsider if he gets older and he turns out to be a little strange.
Just a thought.
Okay, Leo, I have to just ask you because I know you've talked about this on other shows, but I can't get enough of it. So I was checking out what you're talking about on Twitter because I like to keep tabs on you when we're not together throughout the week. And I noticed that you are tweeting your weight from your new Wi-Fi scale. I'm sorry, Leo. I have
so
to bring
pathetic.
It up.
This is so pathetic. So, yeah, I bought this scale. We're thinking, Michael and I think it's whythings.com, whythings.com. It's three French engineers invented this. It's a beautiful scale, but with a twist. You weigh yourself on it. It's kind of a scale, but it has Wi-Fi built into it. It's a Wi-Fi scale, and it tweets your weight. So it's the WhyThings Wi-Fi body scale. Now, it's a little pricey. It was $159 on Amazon.com. But you know where I learned about it? On Blippi.
Oh.
Pud bought one. And then I said, hey, that's kind of cool. And then five other people bought them. I think Blippi has single-handedly put this scale on the map. The idea is you get home with this. It's a beautiful scale, by the way. It's absolutely gorgeous. It has an iPhone. It's the only scale with an iPhone app. And it tweets my iPhone app, so yeah. I can show you my iPhone app if I can get it here. Oh, I better not. I'll show you my password. Hey Santa. So you plug in a USB cable, or you can put it on your iPhone, and then you put it on top of the scale and it buzzes and something and it programs the scale. The scale then has your Wi-Fi settings, and now every time you weigh yourself. You don't have to just tweet. You could have it go a bunch of different places. So there's a share button. This is my website. So you have it tweets it to WhyThings on the web. You can publish it on your own blog. It gives you an embed command. You could publish it on Twitter. You can link it to your Google Health account. So I published it to Twitter. So if you go to twitter.com, I should enter this into the first followers. It's Leo's, L-E-O-S _ scale. You can see how much I weigh. Oops. I forgot an I in Twitter. There we go. And so every time I get on the scale, it shows you my weight. It's kind of weird. Kind of wacky.
So it happens every time you get on the scale?
Yeah, it's automatic.
You know, this is like a woman's worst nightmare. Just so you know.
Maybe, you know, I notice it's only guys that do this.
A gal wouldn't do that.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm on a diet, and I thought it would be helpful if I would do that, that people would keep me honest. And by the way, it can't be too stupid because 832 people now will get my tweets because that's how many people are following me, and I'm on 37 lists.
Well, it's interesting because that's the type of information that you don't really know about people. You know, I know pretty much everything about you.
Yeah, I don't see Jane Pauley doing this. I don't see Dan Rather tweeting his weight.
No.
Only in the new media would you see.
But I do think, you know, it's kind of good incentive in a way. I mean, I wish I was brave enough to do it if I wanted to lose 10 pounds and, you know, felt like, okay, I'm going to let everybody share.
But you think women don't do this because it's like talking about your age? It's just one of those things you just don't want to reveal.
You don't want to reveal because you lie about your weight all the time and you say that you're at least 10 pounds less than you actually weigh. And that's just part of being a woman for some.
See, now I got to write to the Why Things guys, and they should have a fudge factor. They should have a little adjustment that you could put in a minus something. So you could just, it would tweet it 10 pounds less.
Yeah, like 20.
20 pounds, whatever, 30. You know, 50 pounds less. Yeah. For Oprah, 100 pounds less. You just, you know.
I can't see Oprah doing that.
No. I think it's going to help me lose weight. But you know, now every time I get up in the morning and weigh myself, I kind of know I'm like doing this. It's like a public weigh-in.
Yeah.
I almost imagine those 800 people standing at my feet going, go, go, go. And then when I get on it, they go, oh.
Yeah. I think the only time a woman would do it, and just because I know when I was pregnant and I went to the doctor's office to get weighed, you know, but you didn't mind because it's good. You know, you're gaining weight, you have a baby, so it's
permission.
Good. So, because I know Chris used to make fun of me. He would say, you're going for your weigh-in. And I'd be like, 160, you know, towards the end. And it was the only time you're actually happy with seeing that type of weight go on so quickly.
You did not gain very much weight, I don't think.
Leo. I gained 40.
Did you really
gain
that much
pounds.
Weight? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a slip of a thing then.
I got really big at the end, but it was all my stomach. Like when I did anything on camera.
When I saw you, the first time I saw you pregnant, I didn't even know you were pregnant.
My stomach, I couldn't even sit in a normal chair. I couldn't turn sideways on the airplane, seriously. When I had to go down the aisle, people would walk and they'd be like, excuse me. And I was like, I don't think so.
You were a late bloomer in the pregnancy world. You just like, you were like a Jiffy Pop towards the end of the popping. You were like,
I got really, I found it kind of funny to be honest with you.
You lost it all. You look great. So there you go.
Close to, but I'm not doing any Y thing soon. Let's put it that way.
I'll send you one.
No, that's okay. You keep your money.
I'll send you one. It's really kind of a crazy thing to do. I know, but you know, everything else is known about me.
I love it. I think it's great. I honestly think if you want to lose weight, I think it's a really interesting way to do it because I loved your comment. I think you said something about losing weight by humiliation or
diet
or something
by humiliation. Yeah.
And I could see that, you know, if I had to do a public weigh-in, I'd be eating a lot of carrots.
Exactly. That, you know, when I reach for that cookie, I go, oh, shoot, I got to weigh myself tomorrow.
Yeah. Do you weigh yourself at the same time every day or?
It says weigh yourself in the first half hour after you get up. But it says do it twice a week or weekly. Don't do it daily, but I'm doing it daily because I got to fill up the tweet thing.
Yeah. And day to day, I mean, your weight can, it changes.
Well, that's fun.
Right?
You know, to watch me fluctuate. I mean, like I went up 2.2 pounds, right? From yesterday. So everybody's going, oh, you're logging weight.
You're just you're retaining water.
It's my time of the month, okay?
It happens.
I'm bloating.
You're bloating.
I'm bloating. No, I've already lost. See, the sad thing is that I didn't do this when I began the diet because I've already lost like 9 pounds. It'd be nice if. I didn't get any benefit of that. I'm on my.
That's cool. So do you actually want to get down to 160? Did I read that correctly?
Yeah. Although now I'm looking, because the scale does a couple of things. The scale does not only your weight, it sends an electrical pulse into one foot and it comes out the other. And then because fat is non-conductive, it can tell what percentage of your body is fat and what percentage is lean tissue. So it turns out I'm 155 pounds of lean tissue and, I don't know what, 60 pounds of fat. So, and you're not supposed to be all lean tissue. That would be, so I'm thinking 170 is actually where I'm going, not 160.
Yeah, 160 seems a little light.
Well, you know, the lowest I ever was 155, not that anybody cares, but apparently I've gained lean tissue since then. mostly in my head. So
keep bouncing on that ball.
Yeah. Could be my buttocks. Or could be that as well. But anyway, it doesn't tell you that part. It just says overall. So now I know what percentage of my body is fat. So and Alex said, no, you don't want to be less than 12 to 15% body fat. So I'm thinking 170 is where I want to go. So I'm gonna I'll adjust that. That's good. That means only I have 49 pounds to go.
Oh, you'll do that in no time.
Oh, help me. Hey, before we get our guest on the air, and I do want to get Ashwin on to change the subject quickly, let me also mention our friends at Squarespace. I know Chris has a great photo site that he put together through Squarespace. Squarespace is a wonderful, highly recommended web. See, I don't know what to call them. They're partly it's web hosting, for sure. Partly it's software, too. So it's a little bit of both. If you go to squarespace.com right now, you could check it out. They have a free two-week trial. Squarespace.com. As little as $8 a month. That's including the hosting and the software. And that's what I like about this. By the way, really good virtualized hosting that you never, ever worry about the /.dig.twit effect. I mean, you don't have to ever worry about that. They really handle lots of traffic very well. You don't need a credit card to try it. And better than that, Squarespace has importing from all the major places. So you can get your stuff out of WordPress, TypePad, Blogger, and get it back in, too. You're never stuck. You don't ever have to feel like you can't, you know, go back or forth. Incredible templates that are completely fixable by you. You can do anything you want with it with simple drag and drop. You don't have to be a CSS expert, although it does support CSS and JavaScript. So anything you can do in CSS and JavaScript, you can do with Squarespace. Amazing stats, social media integration, beautiful photo galleries. I could put my little weight scale on it. Yeah. And boy, the iPhone app is really, really beautiful. If you've not used the, this is the best way to blog. Or, you know, again, I shouldn't say blog. This is the best way.
No, do a website.
To do a
Leo,
website.
I have to tell you that this woman who does my makeup at CTV when I host Web Nation there, she wanted to start up a website, and she's not tech savvy at all. I mean, you know, very, very novice. And so I got her to come over to my office, and I spent an hour with her on Squarespace, and she got her website up and running. And, you know, she couldn't believe how easy it was, because it's basically like the whole WYSIWYG, like what you see is what you get interface. Very simple to change things using Squarespace. And she now has her site. I mean, she's still kind of working on it before she's
so
announcing
cool.
it to the public.
That's
so but great. She doesn't know. I mean,
isn't she happy too? That's the best part is how, you know, people just go, I can do this. It's so empowering.
Yeah, it's like magic.
Yeah.
Really.
Really is wonderful. These young guys who created it, Anthony and Dane, just know what they're doing. They've done a great job. I want you to take a look and try it free. When you use the name Knight as a promo code, by the way, you get 10% off as well. Squarespace.com is the place to go, and the promo code is Knight when you decide to sign up. You're going to love it. Squarespace.com. And squarespace.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of Net at Night. Should we get Ashwin on the line and talk about Blippi?
Yes, Leo. But let's not forget before the end of the show, I need to hear about your dream because...
I had a dream that has to do with Net at Night. I had a really wild dream, actually. Maybe while we're getting Ashwin on, I can tell you the dream. So you remember the YouTube video, OK Go, with the group that did the treadmill song, remember?
Of course.
Here comes Ashwin. I hear him right now, Ashwin. So I had this dream. I was at the mall and they were setting up a performance and they were all wearing fezes, which was funny because so was I. But the sad thing is there was nobody in the audience. You know, it was really small. And the truth is they were hoping people would enjoy their performance as a band, but all anybody really wanted was for them to get on the treadmill. You know, it was kind of like in the back of the stage and, you know, they were trying to perform as a band. Nobody cared. Yeah. Everybody was there to watch them do the treadmill. What do you think that means?
I don't know.
I think it means that I am on a treadmill, and as soon as I get off of it, people are going to say, forget it. I have to keep going. It's the rat race. Keep going. And I have to wear a fez at night.
Okay, I'll tell you what my after our guest, because it's...
not anything like that. Ashwin is on the line. Ashwin Kumar is the founder and inventor and creator of... Blippi. No, that's not him. Ashwin, that's an interesting look you got. You're sporting there. I'm sorry, Ashwin. Let's fix that. There he is. Hi, Ashwin. Thanks for joining us on the Net at Night.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I love Blippi.
Oh, yeah, appreciate that.
I mean, this thing is, you know, and Amber's a little skeptical.
Well, I sent her an invite right now. I was trying to track you down, Amber, and I realized that you hadn't gotten an invite yet, so.
I know. Well, I'm on it, and I've been playing with it the whole time we're doing this show.
You got to share something now, though.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. She's nervous about the whole idea of telling the world what she spends.
You can start with iTunes or something simple. You know,
I like
innocuous.
The iTunes idea. Yeah, that's I think now when I'm looking into it and I see that you can really kind of tailor exactly what type of information you want to share. I love that. You know, Amazon, iTunes, all those types of things. I feel like my life is kind of not as exciting as I would like it to be. So if I have my
the most interesting things are actually the most innocuous purchases. Kind of create the really interesting threads. So you don't really have to have a super exciting life. I mean, my other co-founder Chris and I. We've been working on stuff with zero salary for about a year, and
so you don't have much to talk about.
Exactly, but it's still pretty interesting. So
you know, well, here's an example. Pud, who is the guy who introduced me to it, and I guess he's one of the people on your team, Philip Kaplan, the creator of Eft Company. So here's his. He spent $46.50 at Luxor Cabs. It's cab fare, but there's a discussion going on already. People say expensive cab. Yikes. Top down, chrome spinning. And that's what's fun about this. People can like it. So you just like on friend feed or Facebook, you can like it. But you can also comment on it. And sometimes you get some really great discussions going. I was mentioning Jason Calacanis bought a 7D. And I said, oh, Jason, I can't believe. Well, first of all, I was going to give him a hard time for spending $112 on a 16 gig compact flash card. And then, you know, I see, oh, he buys a 7D, and I said, oh, you should have bought the 5D. And then Jason says, well, I was told the 7D is better. What's the difference? We got a great conversation going on, pro and con on this camera.
Yep.
And this is really valuable stuff. We were talking earlier, Ashwin, about the fact that I bought this Wi-Fi scale that Putt had bought.
Yeah, I think Phil was saying you're the fifth person to buy it. Philip actually saw it. Yep, Philip saw it on Matt Cutts from Google.
He's on there,
Google
too.
Search guy. He's on there. He was the first. I think he was the first person to buy it, and Philip saw that. And he was like, this is amazing, because I think Philip's doing this P90X thing.
Right.
If you go down on Philip's feed, you can see the point in time where he decides to go on a diet, and he buys, like, push-up bars, and he buys, like, you know, whey protein mix and from Amazon. So you can kind of tell that he's, like, rallying himself to go.
This is so cool. It really is an interesting insight into people. What they spend is very valuable. Now, there's some people like Amber who are a little concerned about privacy right off the bat. What do you tell them?
I mean, I think this is a completely opt-in service. And so I think the initial reaction when you tell somebody the idea is obviously a little bit of a shock.
Right.
But I think that it's really a slippery slope when you get in there, because you kind of see how benign it is. It's really not.
My Netflix Play It Now's on here so people could see what movies I'm watching. It's a little embarrassing that they see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but that for the adventures of Pippi Longstocking twice. But it's okay. I can live with that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's all opt-in. So right. I think that people feel as comfortable as they feel sharing. They'll go as deep as they feel comfortable.
Right. If you look at the accounts, you have a variety of different accounts built in. And I presume, Ashwin, you're going to add more as time
goes by. Oh, absolutely. This is just the start.
Yeah. iTunes, Amazon, Zappos, Netflix, Blockbuster, GoDaddy, Wine Library, Seamless Web. Seamless Web is what?
Seamless Web is really interesting. It's a food delivery service.
Oh, that's right.
They're big in New York and San Francisco.
So you can see what people are eating.
Exactly. You can see what restaurants they're buying from and exactly the menu items that they're ordering.
I see. I think we're all a little bit voyeuristic, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
well, I'm just. Sir, go ahead.
I mean, it's interesting just to lurk.
Yes.
Right? And then you start getting in these conversations. What we've seen with people is that they start lurking, and then they say, "You know what? I kind of want to share a little bit too." And they start adding. Yeah. They'll add one or two accounts, and then you know, a week later, they've got everything on there.
That's what happened to me. So when did you launch?
We had like an alpha in October.
So brand new. And you're still private.
We're still private, absolutely. We want to we've tried to build a product in a way that's that we're not being prescriptive. So we built a very, very simple product, we see all types of different use cases. As we bring more and more people on the site, we're seeing newer and newer use cases. Right. For example, I think you donated to Wikimedia Foundation.
Yeah.
I think for $250, and you saw the response that you got from that, right? Everybody was buzzing around it and liking it, and there's like this feedback effect. So there's like this charity angle as well, right? We can contribute to we can build something around charity. So there are new kind of use cases that we notice every single day as we add more and more people to it. And I guess our goal right now is to be able to capture all those use cases and kind of understand the best way to build the product.
Let me get you to unplug and replug your USB headset because it's getting a little buzz. If you plug it back in again, it usually gets better.
You want to just see what people are buying, though. I was just checking out people I know, and iJustine, for example. I can't believe how much money she spends on iPhone apps.
Yes, nonstop.
Yeah, but you know, it gives you an idea of what apps you should download.
But
right?
That's what you'd expect. Yeah. And boy, you can sure see some ways to monetize this thing like crazy. I mean, if you just, Why Things Alone sold 5 scales here.
I like how you're saying we made Why Things.
Yeah, we put them on the map for crying out loud. So there's some huge value to this in a way that Twitter has never really been able to figure out. You kind of come out of the box doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's... The cool thing about this is that it kind of happens naturally. You don't have to actively go share something, right? So when you make a purchase, you don't go actively say, hey, I made this purchase, or actively tweet something. It just kind of happens. And you know it's happening at the back of your head, right? Because you signed up and opted into it.
So Kat, who is one of the people on here, started a game, Kat and Pud, where who could spend the least. And at first, I didn't realize that it was in the real world. You have to use a credit card in the real world. And I thought it was just, oh, the least online. So I went and I bought a nickel HDMI cable.
Saw that. And you know what? I don't know if you noticed this, but 5 or 6 other people purchased the exact same thing. So you found a great deal.
Yeah.
And we were watching everybody's feeds and we saw 5 or 6 other people make the exact same purchases.
Yeah.
Wow.
Even though I broke the rules of the contest, it worked. So you learn something. There's a great social aspect to it because of the commenting. What's your time frame for rollout?
We're releasing invite codes every single day right now. Soon, all the people on the site will have invite codes to distribute to their friends, and then we should be up and running completely. Middle of January, February ish. So,
infrastructure.
What do you mean?
What kind of infrastructure? I mean, you're ready? Because stand back.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, we're ready.
Are you running on EC2 or is this your own
Running
service?
On EC2 right now, yep.
Okay, so Amazon's going to back you up on this one.
And actually, if you follow my co-founder, he's blippi.com/CTE. You can kind of see in the past few days, you can see how he scaled up. He's sitting right next to me. You can kind of see how he scaled up the site.
No, that's absolutely true. You can watch these guys buy the tools that they need for doing the site. It's fascinating. And the WooFoo purchases, GitHub.
Chris and I have all of our accounts. Everything I purchase is reflected on. I don't have a private credit card. Everything goes out to Blippi. So you can, if you follow my feed, you can see the couches I bought for the office. You can see how we outfit this place.
It doesn't, for some reason, I guess because it's opt-in, the privacy implications don't bother me in the least. Now, I don't have every credit card on there, but I probably will eventually. You're right. It probably sucks you in.
Yeah, probably. That's what I could see. It could really, you would want to just keep adding and adding and adding.
Yeah.
Yeah, Philip was saying that Philip right now has, he started out with a private card and a public card, and he says he hasn't used his quote-unquote private card.
Yeah, you want to show off. I want people to see what I'm buying. I want their input on it. Yeah, I have only one credit card registered, and I noticed that there's a conscious... thought about when I'm going to use that credit card because I know it's going to
absolutely it's there. You know that you're publishing, right? So
yeah.
we haven't seen a situation yet where somebody doesn't realize that they've published something out.
You do have the chance to go back and look and say, I don't want to share that. You can line by line say, oh, I don't want to share that.
And we're capturing all that data. So as people flag and hide items, we get a sense of which businesses and which products are more sensitive than others. And so as we get more people on here, some items will automatically keep hidden.
You can click the merchants too. So you can see who, like if I click iTunes, it'll show me everybody's iTunes person's purchases. So that's kind of neat. Yeah, you're right, Amber. A great way to find out about apps.
Yeah, I know. That's what I love is, again, when you're talking about technology, finding out what other people are using. But when I can see what apps people are buying, or that seems pretty interesting
to me. Even the free stuff. It's not just paid stuff.
Yeah, that was cool too. At first, I couldn't figure out why it kept saying $0, $0, $0 right. on iTunes, but then realized they're all just free apps that people are getting. Yeah, it's fun. You really, there's a lot of content there. I'm just sitting here going page by page by page, trying to figure out what people are buying and see if there's any.
You should check out the GoDaddy business. You can see the domains that people are buying. There. Some of them are hilarious.
With GoDaddy, do you strike an individual deal with them? Do they have an RSS feed? How do you capture the data?
No, we get the data from in a variety of ways, but primarily, we basically pull your invoices in, and we parse your invoice, and we just publish your invoice.
You're using for the back end, or using Wufoo?
Oh no, the back end for the credit cards?
Yeah.
The back end is Yodlee.
I mean Yodlee. That's what I meant. I get boiled.
Yodlee's the same company, the same Mint service that Mint uses to get their data.
And in fact, all the banks use it. So one of the reasons I like it that you use Yodlee is I'm not really giving you any information that I need to keep private. Yodlee has it. And by the way, Yodlee knows my bank accounts anyway because they know everything about me. I use Mint.
Right.
And at first, I didn't use Mint for the first year. I thought, what am I doing? But then I found out about Yodlee. I understood that. The way this works, Mint doesn't see my private information. I presume you don't see it either.
Nope.
No, you just see the invoices.
Yeah, exactly.
How quickly does the information go out? If I went out to buy something, let's say if I wanted to buy a coffee at Starbucks, how quickly does that come
depends.
Across?
It depends on your bank. So some banks, Wells Fargo, for example, posts in almost real time. So 5 minutes later, it'll appear. Some of the smaller banks may take up to 24 hours to post. It really depends. Okay. But I think if you look at the technology trends, it's all going to move towards real time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what scares me is not so much people knowing what I'm buying. It's just that if I'm at a certain restaurant and, I just paid my credit card, then I go somewhere else. I'm always more conscious of the stalking aspect, maybe being a woman. So that's sort of where
I actually want people to stalk me. I'm looking for people to follow me. I just don't have any friends. So, I post every time I go somewhere. I post on Gowalla, Foursquare, Brightkite. I'm hoping somebody will show up. Anybody.
And you're streaming live all day.
I'm streaming live on Quare.
You're just waiting.
I got no privacy.
You're the perfect user, Leo.
I am. Yeah, this is part of it, right? No, I fell in love with this almost immediately. But you're right, Ashwin. There is this little curve where you go, this little resistance, and then your resistance breaks down. And pretty soon you just go, yeah. I can't wait till everybody else is using this because I want to see what everybody's doing. So when do you think you'll open this to the public?
I would say February.
Wow.
Before February, we'll be pretty open.
Yeah. What language is it written in?
It's Rails, Ruby on Rails.
Oh, interesting. And are you worried about it scaling at all, or you feel like it'll...
No. We have experience doing this kind of stuff, so we're pretty confident.
What's your background?
Chris and I are kind of first-time entrepreneurs. We're both engineers. We graduated in 2005, so we have a few years of work experience now.
Where'd you graduate?
From Stanford.
Ah, great. Local boys.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, Chris is from Sebastopol.
Oh, you're kidding. Hey, Chris.
Yep. Right next to me here. And I'm from Palo Alto myself.
Oh, that's great.
Very local.
How did you get this idea?
It's actually pretty simple. We were just thinking about how our credit card statements are really social. And it's initially when you think about this, it was kind of a crazy idea. So we were like, well, what happens if we just kind of publish? Let's just build something very simple that just publishes the data.
That's what's great about Rails. You could just do it.
Yeah, it was a very simple start. We started publishing the data to a small group of friends. There was five, ten of us to begin with. And it was just fascinating. Like we built a very simple commenting system around it. And we basically went through we saw what you saw. We kind of fell in love with it pretty quickly. And we're like, okay, well, we saw people buying from Amazon. We're like, well, we want to know what you're buying at Amazon. So we built deeper integration with Amazon to see the product level data. And so we just, you can imagine you can imagine how we went about this. As we saw merchant people spending money in particular merchants, we're like, well, is there deeper integration we can do there? And we slowly, slowly started to build out the other merchants to get to the point where we are right now.
I'm just looking at Chris's, he starts his first purchases for gas, then Big Five, and pretty soon we got Mediterranean Wraps, we got Molly Stones, we got Starbucks, we got, it builds up. movies, the whole thing. And I like it because you have the icons for the merchants there.
Yep.
So you really can look at it and get a real sense. It's voyeuristic. And yet, yeah. I don't really mind if somebody knows I bought a Mediterranean wrap 2 days ago. Big deal.
Well, I mean, I think another interesting thing is Mediterranean wraps doesn't know who the people that are buying from them are. Like, they have no way of communicating with their customers, right? When you swipe your credit card at Mediterranean wraps, they have no way of saying, oh, I know that you come here 10 times this month.
Right.
But if they come to Blippi and go to their Mediterranean wraps business page, now they do. They know exactly who you are. So, I mean, you can imagine how you could run like a customer loyalty or customer retention program purely through Blippi.
Your problem is going to be there are too many ways to monetize this. You're not. Right. I don't know where you're going to start. I mean, this is incredible. This is a pure play social media brilliance.
Yeah, it is really cool. But Leo, I'm just looking at a purchase you made for Jennifer for Christmas.
Yeah,
and
I'm very generous, aren't I?
Yeah, and I guess you have to be careful though if you're buying gifts for people.
Well, I of course would only buy things for my wife.
Oh, of course. No, I'm not implying that.
I think she might see it ahead of time. Well, the good news is I don't think Jennifer knows about Blippi, but you're right.
Yeah.
In going down the road, you might have to be careful about what things you put in public. Yeah. It's probably good to have one private credit card or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's a concern, especially around the holiday season. We've seen a few people almost slip up and have a purchase be revealed on Blippi. But, we're thinking about ways that we can hide particular purchases or somehow say, hey, for the next 24 hours, I want all of my purchases to be silent.
Mm-hmm. And I can see Amazon paying you for a little ad in the right corner that says, who spent the most at Amazon this month? And people competing to see who could be in that little window there. I mean,
and we take that.
Yeah, it's just a natural.
There are a lot of ways.
Oh, my God. It's just it's meant to be.
Yeah, but honestly, we're not thinking about monetization right now. We're trying to build.
Neither is Ed Williams.
The key here is like if people don't feel comfortable on the site.
No, you're right.
If we can't get Amber to put her credit card information in eventually, then we're going nowhere. So really, the key for us right now is to build a really compelling user experience.
Yeah, don't wait too long though. If we've learned anything from Twitter, is the longer you wait, the harder it gets.
Yeah,
you know, people kind of.
I see this as being pretty addictive, though. I have to say, after you,
it's so fun.
Yeah, especially I don't know because I guess I don't shop a ton. I don't really know what I would go out there and buy, but now I'm looking through all these different things like music people are buying, and it's nice to have those suggestions. Everything just kind of on one page.
It makes you want to buy crap.
Yeah,
and I can see, for instance, affinity groups like New Parents. People who love music, you could have further granularization of this. I'm sure you've thought of all of this stuff. There's so many obvious or interesting.
Absolutely.
Ways.
I think pretty soon we'll release an API where we can expose this data.
That's what you need. There's the Twitter model right there.
And books. But Leo, your choice in movies is just fascinating me. So I think that is reason for everybody to sign up to Blippi because you will not believe the Netflix movies that Leo Laporte has listed. I mean, you've got Notting Hill, New Adventures of Pippi Longstocking. The list just goes on and on.
It's that darn play it now thing. It's too easy to watch stuff. You know?
Between that and posting your weight, I don't know if you're going to find your stalker.
I live in public, baby. Ashwin, I think you and Chris have come up with a great product. It's really fun.
And
Philip too.
I wish Philip was here too. He's out of town for the next few days, but that guy is he's amazing. He's perfect. He was like our biggest fan when we first rolled this thing out. The first 10 users, he was like the most passionate, most addicted user. It had all these tons of fantastic ideas. And so as we were starting to think about rolling this thing out, we were like, look, dude, let's do this together. This is going to be amazing.
Oh yeah. Well, and the other thing, I remember seeing Philip speak many years ago, and he said, my philosophy is you create a website that creates its own content. So you can just sit back and, all you have to do is like flip the switch. And people will flood it and pour content into it and participate. It just begs people to participate. And that's what I think what you look for. This is the kind of site that the network effect, it goes viral. This is huge. It's really, really cool.
Appreciate it.
A lot of fun. And is there any way if people who are listening now, it's you go to the site and it says, what's your invite code?
Yeah, no, we have an invite code for you guys. I think it's, Crystal, is it? Oh, yeah, it's net. It's just net at night.
At sign?
Or at sign.
Okay. Yep. N-E-T at sign N-I-G-H-T?
Exactly.
Okay, so folks, I don't know how long that will last, but if you're listening to this show and you would like to be part of Blippi and see all the crappy movies I watch, go to blippy.com and the invite code is N-E-T at sign N-I-G-H-T. You can also follow Pud on Twitter. He gives out codes every once in a while, I notice.
And Amber, you got to share something so we can follow you as well.
Just iTunes,
I'm,
Amber.
I promise.
First one's easy, Amber. Just do the first one.
I know. I'm in, boys. I'm in. After I saw the Netflix movies, Leo, I thought I got some goodies to share,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you can do your Netflix movies. I mean, you don't have to show, you know, everything. Just a little peek. Thank
Love
you,
it.
Ashwin. Congratulations
Thank
on
you
a
so
cool
much.
Site. Yeah, really good.
Appreciate
site.
It. Thanks, guys.
All the best, guys.
Have a good
Take
night.
Care. Bye-bye. Isn't that neat?
Yeah, it's really quite interestingly, I have to say. I think it's one of those sites that they're going to do so well. I hope we can have them back on.
My reaction to it, though, it's interesting because my instant reaction is get more people in there. I want other people to be in there, yeah, so that I can, you know, I can see more stuff. I want to play with more people. I'm getting bored of the, you know, it's so small right now. I mean, we got on this one early. It's very small right now, but
I know. I just tweeted the invite code too, just for people
good.
Who
good.
And I think the Blippi account, they've tweeted it as well, just net at night.
Hey, I got a code for you real quickly, and then we're going to get our final links of the evening, including do you have a song of the week, as
usual.
Of
course.
A song of the week. But before we do that, kind of looking back at the year, I do want to mention our friends at audible.com, a great place to get your audiobooks. If you go to audible.com/night right now, you can sign up for the gold account. That'll give you one book free right off the bat. And the idea is, I know you may be a little skeptical about the idea of listening to audiobooks. I can understand that. But, you know, believe me, this is a life-changing experience you're about to have. See, Audible is a bookstore with 65,000 incredible books. Before I go to a bookstore, before I go to the Kindle, I see if it's available in audio because I far prefer to listen to my stuff on audible.com. Wonderful stuff. Daniel Pink's newest is just out on audible.com. Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us. I know you're very interested in this, Amber.
Definitely.
Yeah, he's got a new kind of paradigm for the secret to high performance and to satisfaction using 4 decades of research on human motivation. Fascinating stuff. He has the 3 elements of motivation are, and it fits my life, autonomy, the desire to direct your own life, mastery, the urge to get better and better at something that matters, purpose, the yearning to do what we do in service of something larger than ourselves. Those are the big three. I know they are in my life. Daniel H. Pink is a very inspiring writer. His new book just came out today on Audible. But this is an example of the kind of things you can listen to that inspire, entertain, inform. You'll learn, you'll enjoy. And boy, if you're wasting time in a commute or at the gym, time you could be reading, listening, you've got to find out about Audible. Go to audible.com/night. Download your first book absolutely free. You can cancel it any time, and the book is yours to keep. But you can put it on your iPod, your Zune, almost any MP3 player. Audible.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of the Net at Night program. All right, Amber, our song of the week.
Yes, our song of the week. But actually, right before I get to that, Leo, I just wanted to mention a quick download of the week if we have time.
Yes.
Because I found this cool piece of software for anyone who is out there who does any writing, whether you're writing a column or you're just writing, you know, your own personal journal or whatever, maybe even writing a book. It's called OmWriter. It's Mac only, and it's completely free. I read about it, I think it was on lifehacker.com, and you
Ooh,
download it.
It's like invisible.
Leo,
you write on your desktop.
Yeah, Leo, you have to download it because as soon as I downloaded it and I started using it just before we did the show, and I was like, oh, Leo's going to love the whole user experience of this. Just the design of this app is really slick. So it kind of takes over your entire desktop. You write on it. Now you have this great little toolbars that are very, it's obviously a designer who's put this together because there's not a lot of words. There's a lot of symbols that you can use.
This is incredible.
And you, You can play music, like really light background music to focus on your writing. You can have different patterns kind of in the background. So it's kind of like a meditative, relaxing writing experience that takes over your desktop. You have to really download it and try it. Like I said, it's free. It's a really quick download. It's called OmWriter, OmWriter.
It's kind of for a journal. I mean, you wouldn't want to write your book.
No, not necessarily. Way. No, but if you needed to get some writing done on a book, it's a great way just to mix it up a little bit.
So it has no user interface. It's just kind of the words appear on your desktop.
Yeah, yeah, basically it has a little menu bar. So when you download it, you open up the application.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to tell just from the video on the site, but when you download it, it takes over your screen, and then you just start writing on your desktop. You can change the font size, but it allows you to write in a kind of a focused environment, again, with the music in the background, if you like that, and just, you know, different patterns in the background. It's just, I think you get distracted a lot when you're writing, especially with your browser open and all these things on your desktop, so this allows you to kind of get rid of all that clutter and just have a different experience.
Oh, I'm downloading it right now. I can't
wait. It's nice. I think you'll like it.
So cool.
It's really slick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's kind of fun. And then you have the little toolbar on the right-hand side to increase the font size. Like I said, the music. Some of them I haven't totally figured out because I just played with it before the show.
But this makes sense. Why do you need a window? Why do you need this? You know, why not just write? You know, if you need controls, you got the controls, but why not just write?
Just write. And you know what? It's funny. I don't know if you feel like this, Leo, because I know you're playing with it right now. And if other people who are listening, if they download it and try it out. But it seems like everything you're writing is almost artistic just because it's so beautifully designed. Yes. And it's this white screen. Like, I wrote a sentence that was like, it's so clean and peaceful here. And it was like poetry on the screen. You know, it just, I don't know, maybe overinflates your writing confidence. But I like it nonetheless.
What a good idea. This is the kind of program the Mac was made to do.
Yes. Yeah. Really slick. So anyway, now we can get on to our song of the week.
You know, this website is the DJ. I love DJ Earworm's mashups, but they're just jammed right now. So I don't know how we're going to get this song on here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not surprised. But I think last year we listened to one as well.
Yes,
because
I love their mashups. Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end of the year, they do a lot of, they take the top pop hits of the year and they mash them up into one video or one song. This year, they did the top 25 most popular hits of 2009, according to Billboard magazine. And they call it United State of Pop.
This is probably a massive copyright violation, right? We're violating everybody's copyright all at once, kind of a thing.
Yeah. So maybe it negates.
I don't care. Never mind. You know, I'd have to say we've started posting shows on YouTube, and before you could post a show on YouTube, they like ask you 100 times, there's nobody's music in here. There's nobody there. You're not stealing anything. And it makes me very paranoid all of a sudden. But don't worry, this show won't go on YouTube. We'll just play it for you now. Don't tell anybody you heard it here, okay? Just pretend.
Okay. Oh, Leo, before.
Yes. Go ahead. I won't play it.
So maybe we can try to get some more from them.
I'll stop right now. I won't play it. You tell me when we're going to play it. What did you want to say?
Oh, sorry. I was just saying that I just got a message on Twitter that from like 15 people that all of the Blippi invites are gone. So I guess
that didn't take very long.
I know. Well, go
follow Pud. Twitter.com/Pud, and we'll make him put some more up for you.
Harass them.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the United States of Pop 2009, Blame It on the Pop, a great mashup from the great DJ Earworm, Amber MacArthur. Have a happy new year. We'll see you in 2010. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you. And don't forget, you can follow Amber at commandn.tv and on our website, ambermac.com, and, of course, on CP24 with Web Nation. See you later, Amber, happy new year. Bye-bye.
You too. Happy New Year.
See you next time on Net at Night.